I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Good morning. How was your Thanksgiving? I hope it was exactly what you needed, full of some combination of the F's. I keep adding to the list of F's, but they're all applicable. Family or friends or both. Or friends who are like family. That was me, actually, with my plans changing unexpectedly. I had a friend show up who invited herself for dinner. She did not want me to be alone. So a friend who is like family. Faith fellowship. Food.
Fun.
A lot of football. I hope no major headaches from traveling. I actually ended up having to fly on Friday and Sunday. And it turned out to be one of the easiest Thanksgiving travel experiences I've ever had. So I was very thankful for that. I know there was weather early last week and weather on Sunday in different parts of the country. Gosh, some friends of mine in Oklahoma had a couple inches of snow. I am jealous. I want some snow. Anyway, whatever your Thanksgiving, however you marked it, some people had to work. Of course, I hope it was exactly what you needed. We are excited to be back together, reconvening after a few days apart. Lots of football, both NFL and college, and we'll get to more of it coming up on our Monday night show when we wrap week 12 in the NFL, but we just don't have time to get to all the great college stuff, so I know a lot of you have already been thinking about it, talking about it since it was on Saturday, a lot of it, some on Friday too. I promise we'll do a little more college football. A lot more college football coming up on Monday night, along with the game between the Vikings and the Bears. So an NFC North battle that maybe has seen better days, but you never know what we might have in store for us. And as I've promised, producer Jay, an epic food story on the next edition of the show, because I did in fact set a pie on fire. It wasn't supposed to be on fire. I nearly grabbed the fire extinguisher, but then thought, there's got to be another way to put this fire out. If I use that extinguisher, I will ruin my entire kitchen. I do not need that right before a wedding and Bob moving in. So, no. No fire extinguisher, just a fire that I had to figure out.
That's dangerous.
There is actually photographic evidence. I don't know if I'm brave enough to share it. You all think so highly of me and my baking, but let me just tell you, this will forever be the baddest baking story of my entire life. On fire, like as in flames shooting out the top of my pie.
I honestly can't wait for this story. I can't.
My Thanksgiving fun included fire. Oh, there's another F. It could be family, friends, food, fellowship, faith, fun, football, fire.
And fire.
And fire drill. And fire extinguisher. And fire emergency.
Not fire safety.
There was also fire safety. There was no fire alarm. Fire,
that's good.
Fire, fire. Oh, it's good stuff. It's a good story. You will laugh so hard you will cry when I tell you what I did. It was not on purpose, obviously. And I had to turn around and bake that same pie the next morning, knowing what not to do.
I mean, you know, trial and error, you learned.
Oh, it's After Hours CBS on Twitter. And then After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, coming up in 15 minutes or so. We will head to Baltimore because the Ravens go into their bye week with the best record in the AFC. The best record in the AFC. at 9-3. Now, they have the same number of losses as the Dolphins, Jaguars, and Chiefs, who are all division leaders, but they are still sitting in that top spot right now in the tougher division or the tougher conference in football. And it's also a tough division. Jay and I were laughing about this. Now, we're jumping the gun a little bit, but do you remember those features? Was it features on... Shoot, I can't remember. What if I told you it were those part of... I can't remember what those were. Were those Tom Rinaldi's? Remember he used to do some features for ESPN? He's not with them anymore, but I can't remember if that's what it was.
I think those were the 30 for 30 intros.
Are those? Oh, right? That's right. Yeah. The 30 for... Thank you, Jay. The 30 for 30 intros. What if I told you... Oh, yeah. Well, that fits here. And maybe it will someday be a 30 for 30. But what if I told you that... A week 13 matchup between the Broncos and the Texans in 2023 would be one full of playoff implications. Are you kidding me? What if I told you the AFC South has three teams with winning records? Come on, that can't even be remotely true. And yet it is. The South has more winning teams than the West or the East. I don't suppose it's fair to call that the toughest division in football because the AFC North has got the better records and the top team, but come on. Broncos and Texans. Is anyone going to vote for that game, do you think? Are you going to put it in the Week 13 Game of the Week poll?
I think it absolutely has to be in there.
You think it has to be there?
It has to be.
I don't think it'll win because we've also got San Francisco-Philadelphia next week, which is a rematch of the NFC Championship. I don't know when I became the person who looked ahead, but I am now. It's intriguing to think about the possibilities in the AFC. And to that end, the NFL gives us nothing but NFC on Thanksgiving Day.
I didn't even realize that on the day.
Yeah, well, and that would explain why they weren't all uber competitive, because it's very top heavy in the NFC, similar to last season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to get to Ravens and Chargers from Sunday Night Football. We'll head to Baltimore. We'll talk to our friend Rob Long from our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. But before that, to continue with the theme of what if I told you, this is, it's not even possible for me to say it with a straight face. I have a visceral reaction to it. What if I told you at this point in the NFL season, through week 12, the Broncos, Texans, and Colts would all have better records than the Bills and Bengals? Seriously, let that sink in. I know it's a Monday morning and you're shaking the cobwebs out, but that's actually true. The Bills and Bengals right now are on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. Texans, Colts, and Broncos are right there in the mix. I'm almost speechless. The Bills had 500 plus yards on Sunday against the Eagles. They started out with a pair of takeaways in the first half, but they also had 10 penalties. And this is really the Bills. They can be dynamic. They can look like the best team in football, which is why nobody wants to give up on them. And you really shouldn't. But they just can't seem to get it all together at the same time. Very rarely. They are their own worst enemies. That is what I am determined to see through about this Bills team. If you can stop being your own worst enemy, missing field goals, throwing ill-timed interceptions. Now, they didn't have a ton of turnovers yesterday, but the idea that they can be so good and then waste their performance because they can't close the door, they can't keep from making those mistakes. You can blame the officials all you want, and boy, did I get plenty of people on Twitter who are blaming the officials. Nah. The Raiders didn't commit any penalties either, and they still got hammered by the Chiefs. The Ravens had a penalty-free game. Raiders had a penalty-free performance against Kansas City at home and still lost big time by double figures. The Bills are always more aggressive. The Eagles, I mean, they're generally an aggressive team, but in this particular case, the Bills were kind of taking liberties with the rules. 10 penalties and a missed field goal in the first half, another missed field goal in the second half, And you can only give the Eagles so many opportunities. So, yeah, with a bunch of key pieces missing on that defense, I feel like they've played extremely well. But once the Eagles found a groove, it was three straight touchdown drives in the second half.
Smith, now he goes into the slot. Back goes Hurts. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown! Smith!
What a well-thrown football this is.
Yes, it was.
Perfect design, perfect execution, and he throws it just slightly away from that inside safety where skinny Batman can go up, snare the ball, pull it in, and avoid a big collision.
From the 29, back goes Hurts. He looks. He starts to roll. Looking downfield, waving people down. He fires into the end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! Caught by Zaccheaus!
You can hear the crowd there in Philadelphia. I was listening to part of this game on the radio, and they kept commenting on both the Bills and Eagles radio network. So Chris Brown for the Bills and then Merrill Reese for the Eagles. They kept commenting how loud it was there and that it was just a raucous atmosphere in Philadelphia. That's the go-ahead touchdown to Zaccheaus, a 29-yarder, and it's early in the fourth quarter. Now, the Bills are able to answer, and this is why, again, teams can't take them lightly, but experts and analysts do not want to count them out because you can see what the offense is capable of when they're not making life so difficult and ratcheting up the degree of difficulty with all their mistakes.
Allen going to go in the shotgun here. Two receivers to the left, Davis on the right, Kincaid on the left side attached to the line. Here's the snap. Fake to Murray. Quick hitter to Gabe Davis on a slant for the touchdown. Gabe Davis with a 7-yard touchdown reception. And the Bills are back in front with 1:52 to play.
Gabe Davis, critical figure, pivotal moments for him in the fourth quarter and then on into overtime. So he catches that touchdown from Josh Allen, and that's late fourth quarter. It's a 5-minute drive. It feels like the Bills are steady. Now, Philadelphia gets the game-tying field goal, and this is your reminder that kickers are people too. It was a 59-yarder from Jake Elliott in driving rain. I mean, it was pouring. In fact, Jay and I both had to drive to work in that rain because it kept marching its way up the eastern seaboard, and we had to drive into New York City after Sunday Night Football. So Jake Elliott, give him all the props in the world. They go into overtime, and this is what I'm talking about with Gabe Davis. On their first, so the first possession was the Bills. As they're into the red zone, on their last shot at the end zone, Davis breaks out. The ball goes in. Don't know who was right. Don't know where the miscommunication happened. Only that Davis would have been wide open in the back of the end zone because there was nobody in the middle for the Eagles. Nobody that was available, free, all hands on deck to defend in the middle of the end zone. It was wide open. And so Davis goes out, but the ball is in. And the reactions from Joe Brady, who's the interim offensive coordinator, from Josh Allen, was, oh, no, they had it. Knowing that they had it, and they weren't able to get the touchdown. Instead, they settled for a field goal, which means what? Ball is back in the hands of Jalen Hurts. And at this point, it looks like the Bills' defense is dog-tired. Jalen's able to pick them apart. A couple of long passes to Devontae Smith. And methodically down the field. And the Eagles are used to this, right? Because this is a fourth consecutive game in which they had to rally from double figures down.
Three receivers left. Now Swift goes in motion. Hurts on a quarterback draw. He's at the five. He's in. Touchdown. The Eagles win. Hurts does it again.
Oh, my God.
Hurts does it again.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
He's amazing.
Yo, there's a party at Lincoln Financial Field.
And the Eagles are 10-1. What a win.
You're all invited. There's a party here at Lincoln Financial Field.
You know, I kind of had a little reflection moment of what am I supposed to say? You know, what do you guys want me to say? You know, and we would just continue to find ways to win. We continue to find ways to win. We play together. We've shown our resiliency day in and day out, game in and game out. We've been challenged in a number of different ways. But we always find a way, you know, and that's something you can't really take for granted. And it's hard to quantify.
Jalen Hurts also dealing with a bum knee. And you may have heard the report on the broadcast. I think it was Tracy Wolfson, right? He's just going to have to deal with it the rest of the season. There's no way that they're going to be able to fix it. He's going to be playing on it. And so, yeah, he's just dealing with the pain. Every now and then you'll see the limping. But still, four consecutive rallies for the Eagles as they move to 10-1. And that builds such incredible confidence. And so to a man in the locker room, they know as long as there's time on the clock.
I feel like our offense is going to, you know, either put up enough points for us to win, or even if we're slacking on defense. There have been times this year where we slacked on defense. The offense did enough for us to win, and they have confidence in us to make enough stops for us to get a win.
Oh, yeah, the confidence is spreading. James Bradbury for the Eagles. And then for the Bills, as I say, Josh Allen, four touchdowns, and then they end up with 500-plus yards of offense, but it's wasted.
I think effort was there. Execution was there. Just got to make a couple more plays, and you know, there's a couple we wish we had back.
Obviously, a hard-fought game. Game went back and forth. I thought our guys played hard. Had some opportunities to win it, and at the end of the day, they made more plays than we did.
We had them. You know, we was driving on the field looking good. Good Philly defense, but at the end of the day, we knew we could win on against them, and you know, we just didn't execute on the last play.
Oh, Gabe Davis, he comes off the field after that miscommunication, shall we label it, and he slams his helmet down, and he's got Stephon Diggs and some of the other guys who are talking to him, and they're going through what happened. But yeah, you hear him say, we had him. We had him. We were right there and had to settle for a field goal. And so they squandered this opportunity. They had 14 points off turnovers in the first half. They had the lead multiple times late. The defense just couldn't quite keep them at bay. But the offense bears responsibility, too. A fourth quarter interception for Josh Allen leads to the go-ahead TD for Philly. And then that miscue in the end zone in overtime. The Bills are 6-6. And yet they don't feel like a 6-6 team. Now, I'm a big believer that you are what your record says you are. And the Bills continue to make it so hard on themselves. The Eagles, meanwhile, haven't played their best football. And they're 10-1. And so, yeah, we get Eagles-Niners next week. And the Bills, meanwhile, along with the Bengals, on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. Before the season started, and then we'll get to our break. Before the season started, Jay and I did a video. We also asked you the question on the show. Which new teams would get into the playoffs after the 23 campaign, because there are 14 teams, roughly 7 turnover every year. But who in the world would have thought the Bills and Bengals would be two of the teams that were out to make room for two new teams? And who would have said, oh yeah, Texans and Colts are going to be playoff? Are you kidding me? The Texans and the Colts? The Colts are using a backup quarterback who thinks he's Brett Favre and wears overalls. It's fine. It doesn't matter what he wears. I'm just making a point. He's a unique cat. Gardner Minshew does whatever he wants, right? He's all or nothing. But whatevs. I mean, that's the beauty of football.
Very different offense with Minshew.
With Minshew, or as someone posted on our Facebook page, Minshew.
Let it hang, you know.
He lets it hang. He certainly does let it hang. All right, coming up, the Ravens have the best record in the stacked AFC. Let's talk about the best and the worst of Baltimore, and what is their identity under their new offensive coordinator. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's time to talk about Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Starting at under $1 a day, you can get whisker-to-tail protection with a plan as unique as your cat. Sorry, dogs. This customizable coverage is exclusively for feline friends. Learn more at felixcatinsurance.com. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it? Meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
You're staring at the computer screen and have written, then deleted the same sentence over and over again. Your work needs to get done, but the writer's block is real. That's where the free Odyssey app can help. With thousands of podcasts to boost your mood, inspire you, and even teach you a thing or two. Jump into Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things, The Tony Kornheiser Show, and Say More with Dr. Sheila, starring Amy Poehler. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening. Your favorite mood break, your Odyssey.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Lamar in the shotgun. He sends Zay Flowers wide to the right. Now he brings Flowers in motion to the left. He gives it to Flowers on the jet sweep. He cuts inside the numbers. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Ravens! The Zay is in the board, and the Ravens knock out the Chargers in L.A.
Getting to the Super Bowl is a goal, you know, but we're going to just take it a week at a time. That's all we can do. We can't worry about being a number one seed or anything like that. You know, it's the NFL. Anything can happen any given Sunday, Thursday. Whenever you play Monday, you know, we just got to keep focusing, keep trying to win these games because it's a tough league.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Lamar Jackson, fourth NFL quarterback to rush for 5,000 yards in his career, but well, quicker. That makes no sense. But much quicker, 22 games quicker than Michael Vick. And so he's leaving his mark in many ways, but what he really wants is to be a billionaire and to be a champion, as he's told us more than once. Jerry Sandusky with the call of the Zay Flowers touchdown, the second that put this game out of reach on Sunday Night Football in L.A. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Rob Long from our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7. The Fan gets ready for the Big Bad Morning Show in these moments, and we'll give him a little early prep work. Happy Thanksgiving, belated to you, Rob. I hope you had a nice week. I mean, did you take time off, or were you working?
No, my favorite holiday. I took off naturally. I was off Thursday and Friday, but I worked the rest of the week.
Gotcha. All right. My favorite holiday, too, for the meal, generally. Although this year I did set a pie on fire, but that's a story for another day. Okay, so let's talk about these Ravens. They've got a new offensive coordinator, right? We know that Lamar Jackson has felt a little freer. He's talked about the ability to change things or maybe submit his own suggestions. What do you see that's the major difference between the Ravens' offense this season and last year?
Better pass offense. It seems like receivers have space. There were multiple times with several analysts and former pro football players pointed out that the Ravens would have two and sometimes three receivers in the same spot. And as a quarterback, that many defenders are around as well. You don't have that now. You have a lot of wide open receivers, which tells me you're setting it up differently, but you don't see receivers bunched together as much running routes now. And you see a probably more decisive Lamar Jackson. Why? Because, you know, it's easier to make those decisions when they're spacing.
Why the issues in the red zone? Because that still bothers me about the Ravens this year.
Sometimes they get too cute, honestly. Gus Edwards is the man. You know, run him inside. Maybe even run Lamar off tackle a little bit on some of your RPOs. But to me, the Ravens sometimes get way too cute when they're inside the red zone, especially when they're inside the 10. Instead of doing what they do best and getting the ball to Gus Edwards, who never falls back, which Gus Edwards was destroyed yesterday on the 3rd-and-1 call in the backfield, he somehow ended up falling forward for the first down. That's what he does. And sometimes it seems like they go away from it. There was a time last night where they ran the first two plays inside the 10, and Edwards wasn't even on the field. Why? Huh. That's your best situation with him there, and sometimes I just think they get too cute.
So they are averaging 27 points per game, but there are certainly games where it's clear that it's going to be a grind. A lot of that happens in the AFC North, so those games are a different animal. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Rob Long from Baltimore getting set for the Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 The Fan. So, Rob, the defense has been amazing, and I would say a great surprise for the Ravens considering they lost multiple starters to injuries. What is the hallmark of this defense?
To be honest with you, Amy, getting to the quarterback, which I thought was going to be the biggest weakness of this defense. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, who knew? I was not for that signing because he just hadn't gotten it done in a level that he's getting it done now. I'm a big South Carolina Gamecock fan, and he hasn't played this well since his sophomore year in college, to be honest with you. What he's doing right now is just unreal. He had two more quarterback hits last night and a sack. They had 9 hits on Justin Herbert, which I think makes things a lot easier for the secondary. But speaking of the secondary, Kyle Hamilton, the Ravens' Mike McDonald, our defensive coordinator, has been a genius in how he's – I didn't think Kyle Hamilton could play a traditional safety in the NFL. Well, I still don't know whether he can or not because they don't play him as a traditional safety. He plays a hybrid position that makes him absolutely phenomenal. He made plays last night as a linebacker. He made plays 30 yards downfield last night. He made plays in the intermediate routes. Al Hamilton is becoming an unbelievable defender and a force on the defensive side of football. Of course, everything changed last year once they traded for Roquan Smith.
Yeah, he has been devastating in many cases. It seems like he's always right in the center of the action, which is huge. I heard him interviewed on Westwood One last night, and he was talking about the fact that they take such pride in the defense, and you can really feel that pride and that confidence. So then when it comes to the defense, with the pressure that's put on them, because the offense still at times does not put up the points that they can, would you say, though, that that's the better unit? Or would you still say the offense with Lamar Jackson?
I say it's the most consistent unit. They forced 4 turnovers last night. 4 turnovers. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens matched 20 points total in that football game, not being able to score on the turnovers. I think the defense has been the most consistent unit on the Baltimore Ravens, the most reliable unit, because there's times where the offense really struggles. I don't think of one game where the defense may have struggled a little bit. But overall, in the 12 football games they played thus far, to me, the defense has been the most consistent unit for this Baltimore Ravens team.
Yeah, the only team that's giving up fewer points than the Ravens right now per game is the Niners. And we're talking about, a tenth of a point is the difference. So essentially, they're each giving up 15.5 points per game, which is pretty incredible. So the Ravens have the best record in the AFC at 9-3 going into the bye. What do you want them to do coming out of the bye? What do you need them to do coming out of the bye?
Well, I need them to, some of the guys that are banged up a little bit, get healthy. And when they come out of the body, they clean up what you talked about, the red zone. That's strategic. That's not always execution. Sometimes that's strategic, the game plan. And, again, I believe they get a little bit too cute there. The Rams are a team that you can't just sleep on coming out of that body. You have the Jaguars, the 49ers, the Dolphins. And you close out the season with the Steelers. The offense has to be more consistent. You can't have your defense give you the ball back 4 times unexpectedly and you come away with very little. But they have to be a little bit more. To me, at times, it seems like the offense has an agenda and not a plan. Take what the defense gives you. Take what the defense gives you and not force your way into what you thought you were going to have before the game started. I think, don't get me wrong, I'm much more happy with this offense than I was last year, the year before. You know that, Amy. We talked about that several times.
Right.
But there's still some things that they can clean up. And I think that red zone offense is the one thing that I'm really concerned about moving forward.
It is interesting, though, that this season we're seeing decidedly fewer plays that are designed runs for Lamar. And that, to me, you're talking about strategic. That seems strategic not only to keep your quarterback healthy, who finished the last 2 years completely banged up, but even as he goes over 5,000 yards rushing in so few games, still, you want him to have a much longer life in the NFL.
I do want him to have a much longer life in the NFL, but Lamar Jackson was drafted in the first round, back in the first round, no doubt. But he was the first round draft pick because of his ability to run. Don't take away what makes him special. Don't overthink it. That's what makes him special. When you take that away, I think he's a good passer, but what makes Lamar Jackson special is that ability to run the football. If I'm a DB and I'm 15, 20 yards downfield, and I got to keep up with Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr., well, I got to keep up with them while having an eye also on Lamar Jackson. That's difficult. I mean, it's just, you play basketball. You play ball and man defenses in basketball. We had to do that on the football field. That's not easy to do. Mm-mm. It's not. So, you know, when Lamar grounds himself or strategically they ground him, you take away an element of the offense that no one else in the National Football League has. So I don't want him to get to the point where they strip that away from him and the Ravens offense and Lamar is no longer special.
Remember last year when we were talking about the receivers that Lamar Jackson had, and no one had more than 2 years of experience, right? So he was the most experienced guy, and he's still in his mid-20s. So adding Zay Flowers, who was a first-round pick, he's starting now to find his footing. But they've also got a Nelson Agholor and a Rashad Bateman, of course, adding Odell Beckham Jr. Now, these are Odell was a number one receiver, but we're not talking about guys that are going to blow you away. But I do like the fact that they've got some experience because you also have a couple of rookies in there, like a Keaton Mitchell as well, who's had a couple of great games this last month.
These guys, they have reliable receivers. I can't tell you the last time I've been able to say that. They have reliable receivers. They have receivers that will go and make a play for Lamar. Receivers that don't need the ball put on their numbers all the time. There were a couple of catches last night that were made where you saw receivers go up. Bateman went up and got the ball out of the air on a slant route. These guys are reliable receivers. And I know Lamar, it's so much easier throwing a football when there's not the pressure of having to throw the perfect pass every time. And he's throwing a lot more perfect passes than he has in the past. But I think a lot of that is the freedom knowing, man, I can just throw it in this area. This guy's going to make a play for me.
Rob, before I ask you anything else, did you see, I'm sure that you did, but maybe other people did not catch it, that Zay Flowers was trying to explain his touchdown celebration to Lamar Jackson? It was about throwing the bouquet at a wedding reception, which caught,
Lamar was having nothing of it. Yeah, he was having none of it.
Lamar wanted nothing to do with it. He actually gave him a face and like turned and walked away. Like, dude, that is, what are you doing? And so it made me laugh.
He said something to the effect, you got to practice that.
Well, considering that I'm getting married in not even 3 weeks, it caught my attention. But I thought, okay, that's funny that a bunch of dudes would come up with that as their touchdown celebration.
How many people you think are going to run for the bouquet at your wedding?
I mean, there's going to be a fair number. Well, it's a pretty small group, but a fair number of like single women. So I wouldn't be surprised. They might run from it, though. not wanting to be in the spotlight. That's funny. Okay, so before I let you go then, they're going into their bye at 9-3. That division obviously is still really good, even though it's seen quarterback iterations and a bunch of injuries. What are your impressions of the AFC North through these 12 weeks?
First of all, they're going into the bye winning 6 of the last 7 games. Mm-hmm. You've got to love that. You know, that's not ignoring. They're winning 6 of the last 7. The AFC North is a bunch of quarterbacks that's not going to get it done. Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to fall. They have no quarterback. The Browns, they have one fewer quarterback than they had starting the game yesterday, and I wasn't impressed with that group. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they're the only two teams in the AFC North that have their opening day starting quarterback, and I'm not impressed with Pickett. It's going to come down to the quarterback in this division and also coaching. And for that reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers will come in here week 18 with a chance to either get into the playoffs or win the AFC North because it's Mike Tomlin. I mean, are we going to stop acting like Mike Tomlin isn't Mike Tomlin? I
mean, not me.
Crazy. The guy, all he does is win. That's all he does. And because of that, he's going to find himself in position to get into the postseason in week 18. Like I said, I don't know whether they have to win it to get in Well, they may be in a position to win the AFC North. I don't know. I think I'm thinking more in line of them being a wild card position because I don't think they'll be able to run with the Ravens over the next, what, 5 weeks or so, five games. But I think you'll have two playoff teams from this division because I don't think much of the Browns right now. That's a ship sinking. I think the Bengals, that ship has sailed already for the season.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because of the quarterback injuries are affecting teams all over. But one thing is sure is if you keep your quarterback upright and healthy, well, then you can separate yourself. Unless you are the Buffalo Bills, who I can't even explain them right now.
Isn't it funny with so many rules to protect the quarterback?
Yeah.
So many quarterbacks are still getting hurt.
Right, right. Half the NFL is dealing with.
They have so many rules to protect them, and it's still not working.
Mm. All right, you can find Rob on Twitter. He's fired up. He's passionate. Already had his coffee, and he's drinking the purple Kool-Aid with the Ravens. So at Rob Long Sports, and then on the Big Bad Morning Show, getting set for their turn, talking about Sunday Night Football. Great to have you. Go ahead.
I think you said the name of my show so much because of that time I didn't know the name of yours.
Well, because I just want to point out that professionals actually do know the name of the show that their host, their guests are coming from. I mean... Just want to make sure we're on the same page here, Rob. I would never call my show the Amy Lauren Show.
All right.
Talk soon.
Have a good one. And good luck and God bless you for your wedding.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, I give Rob crap. Subtly, though, because, I mean, he had me on as a guest and didn't know the name of my show. What, seriously? And yet, whenever he calls, I still answer. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, I've got actually a point to make about the quarterbacks, what he was saying, because Jake Browning was the 50th different QB to start a game this season. How does that rank in NFL history? We'll get to that, and we'll sprinkle in the time we've got left. A little more Week 12. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and 10 at the Dallas 43. Howell's back, throws it.
Oh, left. Look out.
Picked off! It's Bland! He's got one man to beat at the 20. He cuts left. He breaks a tackle at the 10. He did it again! The whole defense is going to put Bland in the kettle. That is unbelievable. That's the most pick sixes in one season in NFL history. 5 touchdowns. Where did you come from?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the highlights of Thanksgiving Day, Turkey Day, if you will, and it was a lopsided laugher at AT&T Stadium as the Cowboys moved to 8-3, and it was late in the game. So if you turned it off because they had the game well in hand because the fourth quarter was a coronation because people were eating turkey and dropping teammates into kettles, whatever. Well, you missed this moment. NFL history. Most interceptions returned for touchdowns in a single season, 5 for Deron Bland and the incredulous Brad Sham on Dallas Cowboys radio. So yeah, Dak and Zach, we're eating turkey leg. We're still 6 minutes to go in the game, right? So this is what we're talking about. He's already had his fourth touchdown pass. The offense is getting fat and happy because the game is well in hand. And then Deron Bland joins the party. So the Dallas Cowboys, as much as people will point to them and say, well, they pad their stats against teams that are not nearly as good as they are. Well, that's true. But they also protect their home field, which is something that's notable. 13th consecutive win at AT&T Stadium, and they tie a team record 7 wins by at least 20 points. And so this is a team that can flex its muscles. Now, can they do it against the best of the NFC? Can they do it against the 49ers if they get another shot? Can they protect a lead against the Eagles, which they did not do a couple weeks ago? But it is a lot of fun to watch them play. And if you were in a turkey coma, or you were busy getting dessert, or you just felt like taking a nap on the holiday, well, maybe you missed the Deron Bland, so go back and watch it again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the NFC East, we've got the Eagles, who are now 10-1, and Jalen Hurts, who has a career-high 5 touchdowns on Sunday. This is against the Bills, 4 of them coming after halftime. So those are your top 2 teams, of course, in the NFC East. And it's not nearly as thick a division or as competitive a division as it was a year ago, because the Commanders, well, they're headed for a lot of changes. They're headed for a complete rebuild with the new owners. But believe it or not, now the Giants have the same record as the Commanders. They were hosting the Patriots on Sunday, this game in the rain at MetLife Stadium. And, you know, it's Tommy DeVito for the Giants starting now because Daniel Jones is on IR. It's just a game that if you didn't watch, it was okay. But between the quarterback issues for the Patriots, in other words, they don't have a quarterback. That's the problem for them. Mac Jones gets the start. He's benched again after a pair of first half interceptions. But that's to the Giants' credit, because even as they're starting Tommy DeVito, they've got 9 takeaways in 2 weeks. And while they may be feasting, that's a good Thanksgiving word, on lesser offenses, I mean, it's impressive to see a defense come away with that many turnovers. So, they go from Mac Jones to Bailey Zappe for the Patriots. And he actually does leave a touchdown drive to start the third quarter. And it's 7-7 for what felt like eternity, just forever. But then Zappe throws a pick, because they all throw picks in New England, and the Giants are able to put a field goal through the uprights middle of the fourth quarter. True to form for the Patriots this year, that actually stands up, because New England misses a 35-yard kick with 3 seconds left that would have forced overtime. Just for fun, let's listen to the Patriots call.
Behringer with his right knee down, the rookie punter will hold. He shows Cardona his right hand. In the sprinter stance, Ryland waits. Cardona snaps it. Behringer holds it. Ryland kicks it. It clears the line. Airborne to the uprights. It's no good. Oh. It hooks left with 3 seconds to go. And the Giants are going to win it by a field goal after the missed kick by the rookie Ryland.
I mean, it's just uncomfortable listening to hear the lilt in Bob Soshi's voice. Oh, my gosh. Patriots radio.
By a field goal.
So awkward. Also awkward is trying to get any type of an answer about quarterback in New England. I mean, Bill Belichick won't really give any answers. Mac Jones continues to say all the right things, but it's painful to listen to now.
I just try to control what I can control, and whatever reps
just
I get in practice just needs
stop.
To carry over to the game, and I'm definitely prepared. I just haven't been putting a good product on the field. It's tough. Yeah, for sure. I always try to just control what I can control and let the external factors be the external factors, and really just got to look in the mirror and keep going at it. I'm not going to quit, so that's all I can do.
I give him credit for that. I really do. But it's painful to hear him now. It's so awkward. And he's clearly having a confidence crisis. I mean, the guy is hesitant and he's a mess. He knows that he could get pulled at any mistake and he's a mess. So I feel for him. But the Patriots got to figure out the quarterback spot, because clearly they've got a major void. Speaking of QBs. When Jake Browning started, the 50th different quarterback to start a game this season, but believe it or not, that's down from last year. Through week 12 of last season, 53 different starting quarterbacks, but we know there's been a record in terms of rookies. We've seen 10 rookies start this season, so that's different. But yeah, quarterbacks may have all the rules in the world to protect them. They still get hurt. Maybe they're soft. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!